Good morning, Midland First. I am Reverend Bethany Machieski, and it is a gift to be with you this morning. Welcome also to those who are listening on the radio and those who will be watching on MCTV later on. I greet you today in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our risen Savior. We have some announcements for you this morning. The first announcement that I have for you, I want to welcome Don and Lindsay Van Dale from High Point Academy. They will be sharing our spaces with us, and they are here to tell you a little bit more about what High Point Academy is.
Good morning, everybody. Like she said, we are Don and Lindsay Van Dale, and we are co-founders of High Point Hybrid Academy. So what is High Point Hybrid Academy? It is a two-day-a-week homeschool program where we're guiding and supporting families on their homeschool journey. So if you want to think of it almost as a two-day-a-week school. So back in 2016, I had my little kids and was kind of frustrated with the schooling opportunities out there. I wasn't in love with the five-day-a-week school. Full-blown homeschooling felt really overwhelming, and I kind of wanted something in between. Spent a lot of time in prayer, and one day I believe God had me stumble across this website of this concept of this two-day-a-week school. It was in Texas, and I told my husband I wanted to move to Texas. He was like, honey, no, that's not going to happen. And I felt like the Lord told me at that moment, it was like one of those, the angels were singing, it was this crazy moment where I felt like I heard God say, you're supposed to bring this here. And a very long story short, 2017 we launched. This two-day-a-week school down in Metro Detroit. And now today we have 8 locations down there. This will be our 9th location, which is really exciting. And God is doing great things, and we'd love to chat with you afterwards. Oh, you're supposed to talk. Here, you go ahead.
We are excited to partner with your church and launch a campus up here that's going to serve kindergarten, first, and second graders. And we're looking to grow in the area, and we'd love to meet you in the parlor afterwards so that we can share the impact that we're having on the community and sharing God's message with our school.
Thank you so much. I would also like to let you know that the UWF is having a trip to the Methodist Community House on August 15th. We have a couple of slides for that. You can tour the facility, learn more about mission and outreach, visit the Fresh Market, and join the senior citizens for lunch. If you have any questions, I believe Renee Johnson can answer them for you. And then we have our last Next Generation concert on August 11th at 7 p.m. with organist Ethan Neal. Gabe, would you like to say anything else about that? All right. Well then, if you will please stand and join us in the call to worship this morning.
Do you want to greet each other first? Worship God with your mind. Think of all the good that he has done and all the good he has given, and praise. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings.
Service, we'll be focusing on listening to our voices as we sing our praises to God.
Come and find the quiet center in the crowded life we lead. Find the room for hope to enter. Find the frame where
Amen. If you will, remain standing and please turn to number 886 in your hymnal. We will affirm our faith with the World Methodist Social Affirmation. You can also find the words on the screen if you wish. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort. We believe, God, help our unbelief. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources. Glory be to God on high, and on earth, peace. We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violence of human dignity, based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come. The kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. You may be seated.
Can come forward.
Bless us, Stephen, Simon, for the Bible tells me so.
Good morning, everybody. So good to see you. Hope everybody's having a great summer. Today, our lesson in Sunday school is about Elijah, who did lots of hard stuff for God. In the Bible, we read in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I think Elijah is one of those witnesses. We are encouraged to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, like Elijah did. Anybody know what perseverance means? I'm going to give you a clue. Never
give up.
Exactly. Never give up. We see lots of perseverance in other people, in the Olympic events, or any circumstance of excellence. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for teaching us in Elijah's story about being bold for you as we listen to your voice and trust in you. Help us to remember to look for you in the quiet moments. Let us always know we can trust you, even when we are scared. Help us to do our very best this week and to take time to listen to your voice, especially your gentle whispers. In Jesus' name, amen. The examination of conscience, the examine, allows us to review our day and become aware of the ways God has been pursuing us. Praying the exam helps us notice the promptings of God and the times we were less than like Christ. It is a mix of gratitude, careful review, godly sorrow, forgiveness, and renewing grace. It is a form of centering prayer and also a tool for spiritual formation. One author simply advised, replay, rejoice, repent, reboot. Just a little aside, when I reread those words this morning, I thought, kickoff Sunday. Replay, rejoice, repent, reboot. The slide asks several questions. Henry Nouwen wrote for his examine, did I offer peace today? Did I bring a smile to someone's face? Did I say words of healing? Did I let go of my anger and resentment? Did I forgive? Did I love? These are the real questions. But good old John Wesley asked 22 questions. Am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I'm better than I really am? In other words, am I a hypocrite? Am I honest in all my acts and words, or do I exaggerate? Do I confidently pass on to another what was told to me in confidence? Excuse me, I misread that. Do I confidentially pass on to another what was told to me in confidence? Can I be trusted? Am I a slave to dress, friends, work, or habits? Am I self-conscious, self-pitying, or self-justifying? Did the Bible live in me today? Did I give it time to speak to me? Am I enjoying prayer? When did I last speak to someone else about my faith? Do I pray about the money I spend? Do I get to bed on time and get up on time? Do I disobey God in anything? Do I insist upon doing something about which my conscience is uneasy? Am I defeated in any part of my life? Am I jealous, impure, critical, irritable, touchy, or distrustful? How do I spend my spare time? Am I proud? Do I thank God that I am not as other people, especially as the Pharisees who despised? Is there anyone whom I fear, dislike, disown, criticize, hold a resentment toward, or disregard? If so, what am I doing about it? Do I grumble or complain constantly? Is Christ real to me? John Wesley sets the bar very high. In response, let us pray a prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. And I know the only way to be like you is to be filled with your presence. I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength so that my consecration becomes your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary. For the glory of God our Father, amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
And now we have the invitation to our offering. I invite the ushers to come forward, please. God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for the privilege that it is to give back to you, because all that we have to give is all that we have already been given. Lord, we pray that you use these gifts to your honor and glory to build up your kingdom however you see fit. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege that it is to be yours. We love you, Jesus. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Ancient words of
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 145, verses 10 through 18, and I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me this morning? Lord, I ask that as we come this morning, that the meditation of all of our hearts and the words of my lips would be pleasing to you, and that your Holy Spirit would move among us. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to your glory. Amen. If you haven't already read Psalm 145 in its entirety, I would really encourage you to do so. It's a beautiful psalm of praise and a reminder of who God is. The title of my sermon today is To Know This Love. Because as I was praying about what scripture passage God wanted me to preach from today, I recognized a connection between our growing in Christ and how we interact with God. If you read the message I put in the e-blast on Friday, you might recall I mentioned Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. As well. Something that I love about the way that the Bible works, because it is God-breathed, although it is physically written down by human hands, and humans are prone to error, we can trust that every word in the Bible is there for a reason. Every word reflects the beauty of God, the goodness of God, and the truth of God in some way. At its core, the biblical narrative as a whole, not just the stories told in the Old Testament and the Gospels, the whole book we know as the Bible tells the story of God's steadfast love for us and how each of us is called to be in right relationship with God. I say this because there is continuity between the Old and New Testament, congruency between each passage of Scripture, because the Holy Spirit inspired human beings to write everything that we read in the Bible. When we read Psalm 145, verses 10 through 18, we hear the psalmist praise God for who he is and what he does. The psalmist makes declarative statements, such as those found in verses 10 through 13, which say, "All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all your people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations." These statements from the psalmist surely arose from an experience. Something prompted this person to burst into a song of praise and thanksgiving. We don't know what that experience was, but what we do know is that the writer has faith in what will happen because they know who God is. They know that God is worthy of the praise that he receives and that God will always be worthy. Scholar Charles Spurgeon, in his commentary, Exposition of the Psalms, talks about the difference between praise and blessing. All the works of God, all of creation praises God, such as the lily and the tempest, the birds even. Yet Spurgeon says on page 390, quote, they exhibit his skill, his goodness, and so forth. And in so doing, they do much. But we must learn to do more. When you and I praise God, there is an element of the will, of intelligence, of desire, of intent. And in the saints of God, there is another element, namely, that to love him, of reverent gratitude towards him, and this turns the praise into blessing. I'm afraid that there might be such a feeling as that of admiration for God, for his great skill, his wonderful power, his extraordinary justice, and yet no warmth of love in the heart towards him. But in the saints, the praise is sweetened with love and is full of blessing. This song of praise in Psalm 145 weaves together beautifully the majesty of God, his sovereignty as king of the universe and creator, ruler of all, with his kindness and tenderness as he sees to every detail of our lives. Verses 11 through 13 declare that what God has created will tell of the glory of his kingdom, his power, and his mighty deeds. God's kingdom, as we talked about last week, is not one that will be demolished over time, but is one that will last forever. That is God's promise according to what we have read in Samuel 2, when God promised to King David that God would put someone on the throne from David's line that would be the ruler forever. And to think that God did that by taking on human flesh, becoming incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully human at the same time. How beautiful. What a gift. What a gift. As we read verses 14 through 18, we have the opportunity to pause and really take in God's care for us, to thank him for what we can see. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. That's the end of verse 13. And beginning in verse 14, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Part of the reason I felt led to preach from the Psalms today is because they are so straightforward, yet so profound. There is not one imperative in this song, and it truly is a song. There is not one imperative in what we read in Psalm 145, whether in verses 10 through 18 or verse 1 through 21, because there are 21 verses in total. Yet, when we reflect on the goodness of God and we allow the Holy Spirit to align our head and our heart by praising God and blessing Him, whether we want to or not, it starts to come easier, natural, and free. In Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, Paul reminds us that when we acknowledge God as our Father, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children of God, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Meaning that if we suffer with Christ as he did, we will be glorified with him as well. It's the same when we praise God and when we bless him for who he is and all that he has done for us. That's the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts. This is so important because of what Paul has to say in Ephesians chapter 3 about why he is in chains for the gospel and how great God's love is for us, that he would suffer willingly. In this chapter, Paul is explaining this gift that he has been given to be a prisoner for the gospel in order that he might proclaim, that it might be proclaimed further, because it was revealed to him by God that those who were not Jewish are also supposed to know who God is and to worship him as a result. He's telling the church at Ephesus that he wants everyone to know the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That is Ephesians 3, verse 8 through verse 10. In other words, Paul wants everyone to know who God is and how much God loves them, and that Christ Jesus died on the cross for their sins and to redeem the whole world. He reminds the church there that they have access to God through boldness and faith in him. You might remember that last week I referred to God's promise to King David as God's perspective on God doing more than he could ask or imagine. And that this week we would talk about Paul's perspective on that matter. Paul's perspective comes through in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, which say, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I know that I've thrown a lot of scripture at you in the last few minutes. That is not lost on me. To begin my sermon, I spoke about Psalm 145, which we read this morning, verses 10 through 18, and how the psalmist praises and blesses God for all his works. God is over everything and yet orchestrates the smallest of details in our lives, providing for all of our needs. I talked about how the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit about how we are children of God and we'll receive all that Christ has through our resurrection in him. Now I've turned to Ephesians chapter 3, paraphrasing and quoting from several verses, but especially 14 through 21. Here's the point. As children of God, we have power through God's Holy Spirit to live into all that God calls us to, for God's glory and for our good. But not only for our good, also for the good of those around us. Paul's prayer is that we, because of God's glory, would have the strength and the faith to comprehend as much as humanly possible how loved we are. Paul wants us to be filled with all the fullness of God by comprehending the width and length and height and depth of the love of God and to be rooted and grounded in it so that nothing ever, ever shakes our confidence in who God is and in who we were created to be. The point of all these scriptures that I've referenced this morning is to hopefully paint a picture that illustrates that when we praise God, when we do it, whether we feel like it or not, we begin to understand the fullness of God's love for us. Once we start praising God, once we start blessing him, we cannot stop. We cannot stop. Because we were created to praise him. We were created to trust him. We will never run out of reasons to praise God as long as we have breath in our lungs. It's impossible. Because God created us to know him, to love him, and to trust him. In praising and blessing God, we grow in our knowledge, love, and trust. Praising and blessing is the beginning and the end of our purpose on this earth. God doesn't need us. He doesn't require anything of us to be God. He simply is God, but he wants us. He delights in us not for the things that we do, but because of who we are, because we were created in God's image. He delights in us and enjoys simply being with us. We praise and we bless God because it brings him joy. And we have joy in knowing that we bring God joy simply by existing and when we do things on purpose to bring him glory. Several of you have heard me say that it's a privilege for me to get to preach and that it's a gift for me to get to do so. And it is. When I say that, I mean that every single time. Because I know that it brings God glory. Not because of anything that I have to offer, but because God has blessed me and given me the ability. I don't have to know the ways that God works in your heart through what I say when I stand to preach in order to feel satisfied or like it's a job well done. Because I know that when I speak the name of Jesus, when I declare the goodness of God, God is pleased no matter what anyone else thinks. I am deeply, deeply grateful for your words of encouragement, but not because of what I speak. Because in those words of encouragement, God is giving me the privilege of seeing his glory in a tangible way. My one goal in life, in my life here on earth, is to glorify God and to proclaim his goodness, mercy, and love as long as there is breath in my lungs. I know that in doing so, the people around me will see God's love, so that eventually they will become rooted and grounded in his love as well, and come to recognize that he is able to do more than we ask or imagine. God is a God who does more than we ask or imagine every single time. Every single time. We don't have to guess whether God is going to work all things for our good or to do more than we ask or imagine, because it will happen. Because it's who God is, and that's how he operates. Because he is good. That is the foundation of God's character, his goodness. The bottom line is this. Keep praising God, no matter your circumstances. In it, others will see who God is. God is enthroned on the praises of his people, according to Psalm 22, verse 3. Others will see who God is and his love for them when we praise him. And that is what we want as followers of Jesus Christ. Hillary and I did not coordinate this morning regarding what she would pray and what she would say before she prayed. But when I heard what she had to say this morning, I knew that the Holy Spirit was at work. Because something else that I also wanted to say that you will not find in the manuscript if you have a copy, but I'll mention it briefly, is the examine. The examine is something that Hillary explained to us this morning. And it was something I took out of the manuscript because I didn't want to go too long. But I want to remind you of something that Hillary said regarding the examine. The examine essentially is a way to review our day with God, to sit with God, and to say, God, where were you today? Remind me where you were so that I can give praise to you for those things. And show me places where I did not reflect your love, where I sinned and where I need to repent. And then, Lord, help me to do better tomorrow. Make me further into the image of your son more tomorrow than I was today. And this practice is something that is so beautiful and so helpful in our Christian walk because it keeps us ever mindful of the presence of God and ever mindful of his love for us as we see that he indeed is everywhere with us always. It gets us into the habit of praising God for where he was, where he is, and where he always will be. And so I would encourage you to take that on as a practice, even if just for a few minutes, to review your day with God. And then, as Paul did for the church in Ephesus, I also pray for each of you at Midland First, that you would have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ever ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Beloved of God, go forth in the love of God, knowing that you are more loved than it is possible for the human brain to fully wrap itself around. Go and invite God into your days. You'll notice a beauty and a sweetness that you may not have before. Go with the intention to bring him glory, because you already do, just by living in to who he has called you to be. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.